Bill and Darcy, welcome to the show today. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Great to have you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited about what you have to say about the initiative you got going on. I think the channel is going to love to hear this. So do you mind by starting and talking about what you normally do in the agent community? What's your role? How might people have heard of you before? Give us a little bit of background.
Sure. I've been in the telecom and technology industry since post-divestiture in 1984. So some people say that every year working in the telecom or tech industry is like dog years. And if that's the case, then I'm well over 200 years old at this point, or at least it feels like it some days. But over the years, I've worked in a variety of different positions. I've been with the providers on the sales and operations side. And actually back in 2010, I joined IQ Wired, which is a women-owned, women-run company and agency here in Denver, Colorado. I was the VP of sales until 2015, when at that point, the owner and founder of IQ Wired, who is Tatiana Finkelstein, asked that I take over as the CEO. And so I've been in this role since then.
I've been really fortunate to have had several different careers, you know, from which I've learned a lot and experienced a lot. My first career was 15 years with a trade association in Washington, D.C., where I headed up the government affairs efforts representing small charter airlines. And through that, I learned how the government works or doesn't work, how Congress and the agencies get things done, and more importantly, how to get things done in that weird environment. But more importantly, I really experienced the benefits of how like-minded people coming together, like-minded business people coming together, can really kind of raise the water level for everybody. I left that association in 1991 with my coworker and good friend, Greg Prasky, and he and I formed a telecom agency called ARG. We did not know a thing about telecom, but we loved the residual income business model. So off we went. We made tons of mistakes in the early years, but we fell back on our experience that we gained from the association and realized that we really needed to be in relationship with other people that were in the same business, but that were a lot smarter than we were. So actually in 1997, we reached out to Phone Plus Magazine, which of course is the precursor to Channel Partners now. And we called them up and asked them for told them what we were trying to do, asking for some names of agents around the country. And we started getting on the phone, calling those agents, introducing ourselves and explaining that we'd like to get together to talk about the business. And that really in 1997 was the birth of what is now the Alliance Partners. And the Alliance Partners is a consortium of 16 agencies, Darcy and IQ Wired being one, very highly successful master agents, direct sellers, been together for 20 plus years now, coming on 25 years. In 2010, I sold my interest in ARG and became the full-time CEO of the Alliance. So I've been facilitating that group for the last 10 years. Darcy, when she got involved with this rural healthcare issue that we'll be talking about today, and she had gathered up a number of other agents that were impacted by that issue, she asked me to step in and help facilitate that group. So I'm now serving as the president of Technology Channel Sales Partners Association. Essentially, guys, I'm a professional cat herder.
There you go. There you go. Well, Bill, we appreciate the cooperation we've had with you for many, many years. It's taken us back down memory lane to be talking about Phone Plus, which of course was the magazine, both print and website, when I started here back in 2008. And of course, it goes back about 10 years before that, as you mentioned as well. So we look forward to continuing to work with you and your organization. So speaking of that, James did set it up a little bit before we started this conversation, but the TCSP, let's get into it a little more. What's the vision for it? What do you hope it'll become?
Well, if you don't mind, I think it's helpful to understand kind of what spawned the creation of it first, in order to really understand what the vision is for it. Because as I was mentioning to you before we got started, it wasn't like Bill and I were sitting around twiddling our thumbs with nothing to do in 2020. There's always a lot of work to do, but you know, one of the things that I think in terms of how did it happen. And how did it get started? You know, Bill mentioned a little bit about the fact that, you know, we kind of got some people together and started some affected people together and started talking. But to back up a little bit from there, I think to really understand it, you have to have a little bit of basic understanding in terms of what is it. So what spawned the creation of TCSP was an issue that we ran into that really kind of came to a head last year. And it was an issue around rural healthcare. Rural healthcare is a program that is administered by the USAC organization, which is under the direction of the Federal Communications Commission. So it's a government agency that basically monitors this program and doles out government money to qualified recipients of this rural healthcare program. So in order to be a qualified recipient of the rural healthcare program, you have to apply. And if you apply and if you follow the rules, you can get as much as 65% reimbursement towards your services. And in the, you know, when this program was originally rolled out, it was rolled out specifically for rural healthcare organizations, so not-for-profit hospitals and mental health care providers. That was sort of the initial scope. That funding began to extend towards some urban hospitals that became part of consortiums that were built between rural and urban hospitals. And so the funding, essentially, every year the FCC would allocate funds, which are actually coming from the Universal Service Fund that we all know and love, that we see on our, you know, our bills, right? And that money comes from that particular fund, and that fund is used to fund not only E-rate but rural healthcare. So as the funding started to overtake the amount of money that was available in the fund, the FCC started reviewing the program. And in their review, they became aware of some practices that had occurred they felt created an unfair competitive advantage for a particular service provider. And so they started really kind of digging into the program more. And as they did that, you know, the whole goal was to create fair and open competition. And in their mind, what they realized is that having third-party consultants, which, you know, again, in their mind, agents are third-party consultants, that was going to prevent the ability for them to verify that there was fair and open competition. And so essentially what they did is in August of 2019, the FCC announced changes to the program that would essentially eliminate the ability for agents to work with those not-for-profit healthcare clients that participate in the rural healthcare program. And so that's kind of just a background on that. Now, I will tell you that the service providers at that point, they were the ones who were really engaged with the lobbyists and the lawmakers, right? So they attempted to seek clarification on our behalf because they knew the value that agents provide to clients. And so they attempted to seek clarification and to, you know, make it known to the FCC that, you know, we weren't actually creating the problem. We were helping actually to keep the costs down and helping to create competition. But unfortunately, their efforts failed. And in May of 2020, it became apparent that we as agents would be barred from working with these healthcare clients going forward. And in fact, we would quit being paid for services that had in some cases already been sold even if we weren't able to demonstrate that those services were evergreened under some specific provisions that existed in the language, the FCC language. So it was a big deal for some of us agents because, you know, we had been working with healthcare clients going back to 2010. We had a huge base. And for us, this represented a massive hit financially. And so it was sort of interesting because there was a group of people. I reached out to some people, as Bill mentioned. I'd reached out to him as part of the alliance and started reaching out to some other agents and found that other agents were concerned as well, not just because of the book of business that had been impacted, but the potential impact that could result because, again, the language was so nebulous. And that was really what we struggled with, was just trying to understand, because every service provider has a different understanding of what that language actually means. And so the concern was, again, if this is related to government money, you know, what happens when they start looking at E-rate? What happens, you know, when they start rolling out more funds for rural broadband? You know, where does it stop? And so that's really where the beginning of TCSP came from, is kind of, as Bill mentioned, I reached out to him and he, you know, is amazingly good at herding cats. And so we started to look at the feasibility of forming a nonprofit that would be focused on regulatory issues that impact the agent community, so that we wouldn't be caught off guard again.
Yeah, I was going to say it's clearly a complicated issue, and agents need advocates like yourself to be stepping up for them in this area, bringing this to light. So I guess, yeah, let's bounce it over to Bill to pick it up from there and maybe where you see the organization going from here.
Yeah, so as Darcy said, this FCC ruling really caught us off guard. You know, we only found out about it well after the fact, and when the group that she pulled together started talking about what do we do, you know, the horse is already out of the barn at this point. But we kind of got our act together, decided that our best course of action was to raise some funds, hire a high-powered DC lobbyist to help us put together a petition for relief and to advocate that petition. And so that's what we've done. We raised about $70,000 in the course of about a week. We did a search for a law firm / advocacy firm, interviewed several, and landed on working with an organization called Wiley Law. Wiley Law is very experienced in FCC matters. We've spent several months constructing a petition for relief, and the petition itself hopes to clarify for the FCC that sales agents are not bad guys. We are actually a very valuable asset in the technology purchasing chain. And so we will be submitting that petition. Well, let me back up. We in the midst of that effort, we realized there had to be an entity that kind of sponsored this effort. And rather than that being one of the affected agents, we all realized that it would make the most sense to create a nonprofit trade association to kind of lead the charge. And so we went through the process of creating technology channel sales professionals. We filed all the necessary corporate paperwork. We are incorporated. We have a nonprofit tax-exempt application in front of the IRS now. We expect that to be approved in the next few months. And so TCSP was formed. Darcy is the chairwoman of the TCSP. I'm the president of TCSP. Other members include Telaris, Intellisys, TBI, and several other master agents, as well as direct selling agencies. So we retain the services of Wiley Law. We've written a petition. We're putting the final touches on it now and expect that to be filed most likely before the end of the month. That kind of brings us to what the vision for TCSP is. So our vision initially is to be a regulatory watchdog for the agent channel. The technology sales agent channel is one of the very few industries that does not have any kind of professional association affiliated with it. It's time to do that. So TCSB's vision and mission is to be a regulatory watchdog, to create mechanisms such that we are aware when future issues come down the pike, whether they're legislative or regulatory, so that we can get in front of them. This rulemaking that Darcy mentioned, there's a comment period. Whenever FCC or any other regulatory agency is contemplating rulemaking, they put out a notice in the Federal Register and provide a period for affected parties to comment. Well, there wasn't a single comment from any entity related to sales agents. But we want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
To me, that's really, really interesting. And you touched on, Darcy, I think you touched on these other aspects that not having a trade association could impact us. You mentioned rural broadband. So just kind of looking forward into the future, what are the action steps? How can partners get involved? Just kind of take us through the next few months and how, as a channel, can we come together on this?
So I think, and you know, what's been really interesting is working with the group that we have. You know, as Bill mentioned, as part of establishing this TCSP, we built a board, and we've been working through, you know, these issues, trying to essentially create this organization so that we will have that voice. We will have our own association, because again, it is time. We are no longer outliers. We are mainstream, and I think everyone knows that. For customers, the preferred method of purchasing is generally through an agent at this point, a trusted advisor, right? So the amount of collaboration that we've had within our group has just been amazing. And that's what we want to continue to do. So what we're doing right now is, as Bill mentioned, you know, a big to do is to actually petition the FCC. So that's kind of, we're going to be doing a couple of things simultaneously. One is petitioning the FCC, but the other one is we need people to comment. You know, during that open comments period that Bill was referencing, once we file this petition, we need to be ready. We need to have our agent community really weigh in, and ideally not just the agent community, right? The providers as well, because they're impacted by this too. And our customers, you know, the healthcare providers have been really impacted during the worst possible time. They lost their resources when they were already battling with the effects of having to try and shift gears and deal with the COVID pandemic. So the timing of this has been just very injurious, I think, to many, many different businesses. And what we're looking to do is to organize and galvanize everyone to say, hey, you know, take the time. We're going to create a website so that people will be able to find out how they can get involved. We're working with master agents so that we can send out communication to the agent community and other ways as well, so that we can make sure that everyone's aware what we're attempting to do and can help, you know, weigh in and comment, because that's going to be what it's going to take is for the FCC to realize, to Bill's point, that we're not the bad guys. You know, we're actually performing a service. Generally, you know, at no cost to the customer, right? And we're encouraging competition. We're getting more, you know, more people involved. But there are some definite requirements that have to be met. And we just need to make sure that we have the structure in place to be able to do that. So initially, it's just really getting people engaged, commenting, and then from there, you know, we'll continue to keep building it out.
Yeah, I think we need to send out the beacon and say, channel partners assemble. Should flood the FCC with comments.
Well, we really should. And when you first start looking at this issue, if you're not serving rural, as an agent, if you're not serving rural healthcare customers, you think, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me. But it actually, it can. Without getting into all of the weeds, Darcy mentioned in her kind of initial comments about how some urban healthcare facilities are incorporated into this rural healthcare program. And so in reality, an agent that has a hospital in downtown New York as a customer potentially could be impacted by these rules. And in addition, FCC has publicly stated that they want to, quote, normalize the way that they handle all of these programs under USAC. That's a scary term to us because that means they can take the same approach for all, for those other programs that are handled under USAC. So any agent that is involved in education may also feel the brunt of this rulemaking. So you're absolutely right, James. This is not just a very small handful of affected agents. It can have widespread, far-reaching ramifications.
Well, Darcy and Bill, we're so glad to have had you come on the show, and we're wishing you both the best. And let's keep in contact about this issue, and let's get this done.
Thank you so much for the time today, Craig and James. You know, we'll look forward to getting you guys more specific information once we've gotten this petition filed and we're, you know, blowing the horns, asking for support. We know we can count on your support to help get that word out. Thank you for that.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll follow up. We learned a lot today. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Great. Thank you. All right.